Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the European Medicines Agency says the AstraZeneca vaccine is safe and effective. We'll hear from the EMA and from the HSE's chief executive. An ageing expert says a report showing older people are more likely to be reinfected with COVID vindicates how Ireland has prioritised its vaccine rollout. The Bishop of Derry believes there is better communication between the church and government in Northern Ireland than there is in the Republic at present. A primary school in North Inishowen is set for an upgrade after funding is secured for a new classroom, and an online public consultation has opened into plans to expand the output of a West Donegal wind farm. Later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with sports news at around 5:15. And because it's a Thursday after that, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But we begin this evening with confirmation that the European Medicines Agency says the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is safe and effective. It follows a meeting of Europe's health regulator to review the data on blood clots developed by a small number of people in Europe after they were vaccinated. The use of the jab was suspended in a number of countries, including Ireland, as a result. The EMA says it could not definitively rule out a link with particular blood clotting and will start an awareness campaign. However, the executive director of the EMA, Eimear Cook, reiterated the organisation's view that the benefits of AstraZeneca outweigh the risks of side effects.
This is a safe and effective vaccine. Its benefits in protecting people from COVID-19 with the associated risks of death and hospitalisation outweigh the possible risks. The committee also concluded that the vaccine is not associated with an increase in the overall risk of thromboembolic events or blood clots.
The temporary suspension of AstraZeneca in Ireland has led to around 30,000 people having their vaccinations delayed. The HSE chief executive, Paul Reid, says they plan to get to those healthcare workers and medically vulnerable people as quickly as possible.
We would be obviously going back to some of the people who we would have planned in cohort 4. And obviously going back to a combination of healthcare workers and more people in the cohort 4 that we had planned for this week. There is a time needed to contact patients, to schedule patients ultimately. Some locations may have stock that they were distributed already, others will need to get stock distributed.
Well, the government is being urged to provide a clear plan for the vaccination of frontline Gardaí against COVID-19. It follows a meeting earlier today between the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors and the Justice Minister. The AGSI's General Secretary, Anthony Cunningham, says it's becoming clear that those policing the pandemic are not a priority. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin is being asked to intervene. And in particular, he's being asked to investigate claims that a number of non-frontline workers have been offered vaccinations ahead of working Gardaí. An ageing expert says a report showing older people are more likely to be reinfected with COVID-19 vindicates how Ireland prioritised the vaccine rollout. The study of 12,000 COVID patients found 80% aged under 65 didn't contract the virus again within 6 months. By contrast, protection against reinfection was just 47% among older people. Professor Roseanne Kenny is with the School of Medicine at Trinity College in Dublin.
I would say that the decisions on which groups should be vaccinated first that we have made are very appropriate given this data, and that we mustn't assume that all previously vaccinated people have natural protection, but younger people are much, much more likely to do so. Older people are half as likely.
The Bishop of Derry believes there is better communication between church and government in Northern Ireland than there is in the Republic. It's after the announcement of a return to worship from March 26th north of the border in time for Holy Week and Easter. People are being urged to follow public health guidelines and ensure that the return to worship in churches is safe. Well, speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, the Bishop of Derry, Dr. Donal McKeown, said there has been a much more mature attitude evident north of the border.
We're certainly discouraging people from coming in large numbers from north or from the south into church services. We're saying churches are free to open up if they have gone through a thorough risk assessment, if they have looked at all the precautions. And I think we've been in touch constantly with the Northern Ireland Executive and with the other main churches in the north here to ensure that we could act in agreement. I think we've a much more mature attitude perhaps than in the Republic, where it's all sort of been dictated by government regulation. We've been partners in reaching our own ways forward. I suppose the difference between ourselves and the main Protestant churches is that we decided to open up gradually a week before or 2 days before Holy Week, rather than just on Good Friday having perhaps a very big crowd coming. Government works better ultimately when parties are involved in dialogue about finding ways forward rather than just through legislation. And the churches have shown in Northern Ireland that they're quite happy to work together, all the main churches, with government, be informed, be constantly updated, given briefings and so on, to ensure that we as a society can move forward in a cohesive way together, rather than sort of just issuing dictates, which really will ultimately cause a lot of anger and annoyance on people's part. So I think we actually have found a better way forward in the north, and I appreciate that.
And that was the Bishop of Derry, Dr. Donal McKeown. Well, 169 new COVID-19 cases have been confirmed north of the border today, with one additional COVID-related death reported there. Other news, and a primary school in Northern Inishowen is set for an upgrade following confirmation that funding has been secured for new facilities. Scull Aon in Moville has been approved for funding under the additional accommodation scheme. The money will go toward one mainstream classroom with toilet facilities. Local councillor Martin McDermott says the work should be carried out and completed within 2 years, and he's hopeful that other school projects in Donegal will also get the green light shortly.
I think that it's good news for Moville because there's issues in every school, as we know, around the county. Everybody needs to get more classrooms and get work done, but it's a big process to get that push forward and get it to the point where it gets passed by the Department of Education. And luckily now Scull Aon has got that through. And there's plenty of other schools that's in the same situation that we have to try and push. But I just want to acknowledge the work that the school has done and that the Board of Management has done there, and Minister McConlogue and pushing to get this classroom over the line, and all the local public representatives and Councillor Martin Farn as well out in Moville have all been putting pressure on to get these types of services over the line. And it's good news for Moville today, and hopefully there'll be other good news for other schools in the immediate future.
And do we know when the work is due to take place and to be completed with this new classroom?
Yeah, well, it's hoping the work will be done between 2021 and 2023. So over the next year, over the next 2 years, that the classroom will be ready by that. So, as I say, it's good news today for Moville. It's good news for Scull Aon, and I just want to congratulate the school and as I say, the Board of Management and all the staff there for the work that they do. And hopefully, as I say, there'll be other movements and schools around the county now over the next few months.
And that was Councillor Martin McDermott there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. An online public consultation has opened into plans to expand the output of a wind farm in West Donegal. Cronulloch Wind Farm Limited plans to repower its facility in Gwydor. There are currently 13 turbines on the Cronulloch Mountain, the original 8 built in 1997, with 5 large turbines installed in 2019. Well, Owen Gillespie is site manager at the wind farm. He's been outlining the company's plans.
We intend for planning now, hopefully at the end of April, this April coming. What we want to do is to repower the existing 8 old turbines, actually take them down and replace them with 3 more modern, more efficient turbines. They will be larger. The extension that we put on there in 2019, these turbines were quite larger than the original ones, yes. So at the moment, the old Cronulloch 1, which consists of the old turbines, they produce, the capacity there is just below 5 megawatt. When we take these down, our intention is to put 3 up, and the capacity then would increase anything from 15 to 18 megawatts. So you're trebling your output. The old turbines, there is a big demand on second-hand turbines and that. So our hope would be, once if we get planning, hopefully we will, that we would advertise the old turbines and hopefully get them all sold off.
And that was Owen Gillespie speaking earlier today to Greg Hughes. €1 million a day is being spent on improving walking and cycling infrastructure, according to a government minister. The Safe Routes to School programme was launched today. It's intended to work with the Green Schools Initiative and local authorities to improve walking and cycling routes to school. Minister of State for Road Transport and Logistics, Hildegard Nocton, is urging primary and secondary schools to become involved with the programme.
It's part of €1 million per day on walking and cycling infrastructure. So our call today is for the schools to go online, to put forward their expression of interest and to engage with Antashka Green Schools in relation to how they can make their schools safer. And then the Antashka Green Schools will work with the local authorities and assess those projects or those proposals.
Police in Derry City and Strabane are asking residents to make home security part of their daily routine as part of ongoing efforts to reduce and prevent burglaries. It comes as new figures show there's been a reduction in the number of burglaries in the district over the course of the past year. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
In a statement, Superintendent Catherine McGee advised to take simple preventative measures like getting into a good habit of closing and locking windows and doors. Secondly, if you see something on your street or in your neighbourhood that doesn't look right, then ring police immediately. Lastly, make it your business to check in on an older neighbour or family member, as burglars will target those who are more vulnerable in the community. Meanwhile, figures show that instances of burglary in the council area has decreased by over 26% compared to last year. This represents 97 property owners who have avoided suffering the trauma that burglary brings with it. This reduction is said to be the direct result of a partnership approach with the community, PCSP and the PSNI working as a collective to address the issue.
Nearly 7 in 10 people have been able to save money during the COVID-19 pandemic. However, parents saved less than they were saving before restrictions. With more detail, here's Andrew Louth.
This Red Sea poll for the journal.ie surveyed over 1,000 adults at the beginning of March. It found that 68% of people were able to put money away in savings as most businesses were forced to close. Professor Kieran McQuinn from the ESRI believes it will lead to the economy bouncing back in the second half of the year.
What we did see last year in between the different lockdowns, so we had the lockdown in Q2, but when the economy was opened up again in Q3, we did see quite a large pickup in consumption, but people went, you know, were within reason, went back out and started consuming in goods and services. So there was quite a strong pickup and rebound, if you like.
Two-thirds of 18 to 34 year olds saw their spending habits change significantly. It's led to suggestions of house price inflation in the coming months. Dr. Lorcan Sir from Technological University Dublin thinks it will be the case.
We've got two schemes from the government, the shared equity scheme and the Help to Buy, which don't help, because all they do is give people even more money to outbid each other and drive prices up.
However, it seems parents were the ones to buck the trend. Over half say their outgoings have increased in the last year as children were forced to stay at home from school and leading to higher household costs.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll start with horse racing, and it's day 3 at Cheltenham, and Rachel Blackmore could well finish up being the leading rider at the festival tomorrow. Here's Dennis Kerwin.
Rachel Blackmore's incredible Cheltenham Festival continued when she won the Ryanair Chase with a brave front-running performance on the Willie Mullins-trained Alaho at odds of 3-1 for her fourth winner of the week. And Rachel made it 5 in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle with victory aboard Henry de Bromhead's 5-1 shot, Tell Me Something Girl. County Meath's trainer Gavin Cromwell landed the day's feature, the Stayers Hurdle, with 12-1 shot Flooring Porter, providing jockey Danny Mullins with his first winner at a Cheltenham Festival. There was a huge shock in the Marsh Novices Chase when for many the Irish banker of the festival, Envoy Allen, fell at the third fence, with victory going in the end to 9-1 shot Chantry House, trained by Nicky Henderson. Mrs. Milner won the Per Thames Hurdle for County Wexford trainer Paul Nolan at odds of 12-1, giving jockey Brian Cooper a 9th festival success, while the Shunter won the Paddy Power Plate for trainer Emmett Mullins to land a €100,000 bonus for the owners. The Shunter getting a brilliant ride from young Jordan Gainford. So 16 winners for Ireland so far at the 2021 Festival, and amazingly, it's Rachel Blackmore 5, Great Britain 4. Reporting on Cheltenham with Paddy Power, don't feel like a punter, feel like a favourite. I'm Dennis Kerwin, begambleaware.org.
Yes, Dennis Kerwin there reporting from Cheltenham. Meanwhile, on to soccer, and Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny. He's named a 29 player squad for the upcoming FIFA 2022 World Cup qualifying matches against Serbia, Luxembourg, and Qatar. Seamus Coleman is named among the defenders, having returned turned to fitness in the past week for his club, Everton. Shane Duffy, James McLean and Ronan Curtis are also named in the squad, while four goalkeepers are named as an update on Kevin Kelleher's fitness is required before the players report for duty on Sunday. Striker Aaron Connolly will also be assessed by the medical team on his injury after being named in the squad. And there's a first senior call-up for goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu. Meanwhile, Derry City goalkeeper Nathan Gertzaid, he's been called into the Northern Ireland squad ahead of this month's World Cup qualifiers against Italy and Bulgaria. It's the first time the 23-year-old has been called into the senior squad. He previously played under manager Ian Barraclough at under 21 level. And Accrington Stanley striker Dion Charles also gets a first call-up. Johnny Evans and Paddy McNair are both named in the squad despite picking up injuries recently, while Jordan Jones is out and Niall McGinn is back in. On the pitch tonight, Manchester United, Arsenal, Spurs and Rangers can all secure a place in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. United, they travel to Italy with their tie with AC Milan finally poised at one each. That encounter's an 8 o'clock kickoff, as does Rangers clash with Slavia Prague. Steven Gerrard said of home advantage after a 1-1 draw on the first leg. Before that, at 5-6, Spurs there 2-0 up on going into their away clash with Dynamo Zagreb. And at the same time, their London rivals, Arsenal, they host Olympiacos with a 3-1 cushion from the first leg. In rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has named his side to face England in their final Guinness Six Nations game at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday. There's a number of changes to the starting 15 that lined out against Scotland last weekend. Gary Ringrose, he's ruled out through injury, so Bundy Aki, he slots in at inside centre, with Robbie Henshaw shifting to number 13. Jacob Stockdale, he starts returns to the team for the first time this year and is named on the left wing, with Keith Ayres on and Hugo Keenan completing the back three. In the front row, Dave Kilcoyne, he starts at loose head alongside Rob Herring at hooker and Tag Furling at tight head. Tag Burney, he moves to into lock to partner Ian Henderson in the absence of injured James Ryan. Will Connors was ruled out yesterday with a knee injury in training, so Josh Van de Fleer, he comes in at open side. And CJ Stander moves to six for his final game in the Aviva Stadium, and Jack Conan named at number 8. In golf, in the PGA Tour, Shane Lowry is in a tie for fifth place at the Honda Classic in Florida. The Offaly native is 3 under par after shooting a 67 today. It leaves him 6 shots off leader Australia's Matt Jones. He shot 61 today for 9 under par. Patrick Harrington's just started. He's in level par through 2 holes, while Graham McDowell had a terrible day today. He finished on 9 over par after shooting 79. And Cormac Sharavan carried it an opening round of 70 to land 1 under par, 5 off the lead at the Kenya Open. There's 4 men at the top of the leaderboard, tied in 6 under par. Jonathan Caldwell, he shot 72 for 1 over, and Gavin Moynihan, he finished on 6 over par after a poor first round of 77. Finally, for this evening, tonight the score continues, and there's a League of Ireland Premier Division special. The new season starts tomorrow, with Finn Harps and Derry City kicking off their campaigns on Saturday. Harps there at home to Bohemians. Derry are on the road to Longford. Oisin Kelly is joined tonight by Highland Radio's Harps commentator Dermot Doherty, former Harps skipper Declan Boyle, and Derry Journal's sports writer Kevin McLaughlin, plus Finn Harps player Tony McNamee and marketing officer at Finn Park Aidan Campbell. That's the score tonight on Highland Radio. It's just after the 7 news. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Will it being a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking with Paul Mooney, property correspondent of the Irish Farmers Journal, about its annual land report and what's been happening in Donegal. But first this evening, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has announced the opening of a new and pioneering dairy beef calf measure for 2021, which has a budget allocation of €5 million. The objective is to increase the economic and environmental efficiency of beef from the dairy herd and to facilitate further the integration of the dairy and beef sectors by providing support for farmers. The core action is the weighing of eligible calves, for which there is a payment of €20 per calf up to a maximum of 20 calves. The application process will remain open until the 26th of April. Meanwhile, the IFA is encouraging farmers to apply for the Beef Environmental Efficiency Programme Suckler Scheme. It also has a deadline of the 26th of April. Now, onto farmland prices. Each year, the Irish Farmers Journal publishes its land price report. Paul Mooney is its property correspondent. Earlier today, I spoke to him about the latest report and put it to him that the figures from Donegal make for some very interesting reading.
Donegal definitely made the headlines in 2020, Chris, there. Supply of farmland coming on sale in the county fell very sharply, as it did right across the country, of course. Supply of farmland, supply of acres, for example, nationally, Chris, down by 25%, which is a huge, huge drop. And supply in Donegal, likewise, very sharply back in previous years. The inevitable effect when supply of farmland drops everywhere is higher prices. And boy, did we see it in County Donegal. Average price paid spiked, admittedly on the smaller number of farms now, up over 17,000 per acre, Chris, which is a huge jump in the price of recent years, you know. And we can only wait and see what will happen now in 2021, if and when things return to anything like a more normal picture, you know, in terms of the farmland market.
And to put that in perspective, that compares with just over 6,000 an acre in 2019, 7,600 or so in 2018. But as you say, when there is only a small number, it does distort the figures.
The statistics then can jump around. You know, and the average farmland price, for example, in 2020 was 1,319 across the country per acre, Chris. So Donegal was in 2020, for the farms that sold there, they were the dearest farms per acre in Ireland, in the country, in 2020. So whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for your listeners, landowners selling property certainly would be delighted to see strong prices. Look, the many active farmers there in your catchment in Donegal looking to expand might be quite so pleased, you know, but we'll wait and watch now and see what happens this year.
Like an opinion poll for an election, it's a snapshot of a given time, of course.
It's a snapshot of a given time, Chris. And of course, the reason for the big changes that we saw in 2020 was COVID-19 and the pandemic and lockdowns. Because the reason that the supply of farmland coming on sale fell was because landowners were concerned that they mightn't get the full market value for their land. And as the old saying goes, you only sell your land once. So many of them held back for that reason. And then some other families maybe were concerned for health reasons. About elderly people in the family or people with vulnerable health issues. So likewise would have held back because of all that was going on with COVID and restrictions. So Chris, we do know that these problems came into an even sharper spotlight in the border counties, including Donegal, where we were constantly watching new cases both in Northern Ireland and in the Republic here. And there were extra restrictions, of course, placed in three counties, including Donegal, there in the autumn. The government put those three counties to level four when the rest of the country was at level three. So that wouldn't have helped either in what was a kind of a busy time. The autumn was a busy time for land sales. Chris, because a lot of restrictions had lifted, you know, and the market had opened towards the middle of the summer.
And of course, Paul, the prices vary hugely depending on the type of land and what part of the country you're in.
Yeah, we find from year to year, you know, typically there's a factor of four between the different counties, between the counties with the highest prices and the lowest prices, you know, it's four times typically, and counties move up and down, you know, within reason. There's quite a bit of variation there. Obviously, the nearer you go to a big city, whether it's Cork or Dublin or whatever, you know, there'll be an effect there on land price, and some counties would have typically have the lower prices then, you know, but that's certainly not the case with Donegal this year in 2020.
When it comes to the sale of farmland, what's the split between auctions versus private treaty? What way does that break down?
Chris, normally about two-thirds of the farms put up for sale would go by private treaty and the other one-third by auction. This year, that just went out the window, and over 80% of the land parcels and farms put up for sale were sold by private treaty. And of course, partly, mostly due to, again, lockdown restrictions, gatherings were not allowed to take place indoors. So then auctions were being moved outdoors, as your listeners will well know. There were auctions held in cattle marts and on the land and whatnot. And it just became very difficult. So that's why a very small number of auctions took place in the end. And of those that did take place, quite a few were either outdoors or else online, the very opposite.
Now, we're talking about the sale of farmland, but it's not just farmers who are buying the land. A lot of businesses are also acquiring land.
Absolutely. The business, what we call the business category, would have been the most active type of buyer in 2020. They bought about a third of all the farms that came on the market, Chris. And they would have been followed then by the suckler or beef dry stock farmer. And in third place, then the dairy farmer. So the business buyer would be somebody who's not dependent on farming either for their income or for the savings and wealth that they might have accumulated. And they're certainly very active. Of course, they're typically rural people anyway. There might be, for example, that farmer builder who spent a lifetime involved in construction and whatever, who likes to keep involved in farming. And then we've seen people with no real involvement in farming who will also buy land because they just want to have land like everybody else. So they're certainly a big influence on the market, Chris, from year to year.
And finally, Paul, the Irish Farmers Journal land price report, 72 pages, county by county, and there's a breakdown for the various counties. And looking at it, I suppose you can see the trends that emerge over a period of time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely see the trends. I mean, prices did peak there. Let's go way back in the time of the boom there, 2007 and 8, peaked. Absolutely declined sharply then following that, and then recovered slowly. They kind of plateaued there, Chris, for the past 5 or 6 years, both in terms of the amount of land coming on sale and in terms of price. Definitely big changes jumping about in 2020 because of the pandemic. And looking ahead, Chris, I mean, in terms of prices, 2021 has started off strongly. I know it's early enough yet in the farmland market in mid-March, but the farms that have been sold, you'd notice there that the prices are strong at the moment, whether it's by online or by private online option or by private treaty. So all else being equal, barring more shocks to our system that's already in shock, you would kind of half predict that price will certainly be strong going forward, Chris, you know. And the other one then, of course, supply. I find myself asking, Chris, is there a bit of pent-up interest now among landowners in actually going and selling land because they didn't go to the market in 2020. They might be keen to go onto the market in 2021. And, of course, they'll be that bit tempted when they see that prices are performing very well, you know. So depending on how, you know, all the restrictions change and maybe free up, we might see a bigger supply of farmland coming onto the market this year, you know. And it'll be very interesting to watch that.
And that was Paul Mooney, the property correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, hogget prices remain strong, with prices up to €7.50 a kilo. The IFA's National Sheep Committee Chairman Sean Dennehy said that quality assurance hoggets are making from €7.30 to €7.40 a kilo, with some deals up to that €7.50 level. He says factory demand is strong, with supply numbers remaining tight. And Chagos are now accepting applications for the Professional Diploma in Dairy Farm Management programme. Applications must be submitted by Friday, June the 4th. And finally, IFA Rural Development Chairman Michael Biggins has called on Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue to ensure that applicants for Tranche 20 of TAMS receive their approval without further delay. The applications closed on January the 15th, but he says the approval process is far too slow. He pointed out that only 70% of applicants have been approved for the last two tranches. He called on the minister to clarify that there will be at least three more tranches in 2021 and that the next TAMS tranche will open for applications immediately after Tranche 21 closes on April the 16th. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you, Chris. Well, Matarin tell us it'll be cloudy tonight with some outbreaks of patchy light rain or drizzle, turning misty in parts with lows to overnight temperatures 5 to 7 degrees Celsius in light northerly breezes. Tomorrow, Friday, will stay cloudy with outbreaks of patchy light rain or drizzle in mainly coastal areas. Some sunshine may break through later in the afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 9 to 12 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northerly breezes. Main stories in brief this evening. The European Medicines Agency says the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is safe and effective. It covers a meeting of Europe's health regulator to review the data on blood clots developed by a small number of people in Europe after they were vaccinated. Meanwhile, there's a call on the government to provide a clear path for the vaccination of frontline Gardaí against COVID-19. It follows a meeting between the Justice Minister and the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. They say it was an unsatisfactory meeting. They want the Taoiseach to become involved. And the Bishop of Derry believes there's better communication between the church and government in Northern Ireland than exists in the Republic. It's after the announcement of a return to worship from March 26th. 6th in Northern Ireland in time for Holy Week and Easter. And 169 new COVID-19 cases were confirmed north of the border today, one additional death. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 18th of March. The death has taken place of Phyllis Rorty, née O'Donnell, 12, Abbey Villas, Manor Cunningham. Funeral from her late residence on Saturday morning at 10:15, travelling through the village past the community centre, going to St Columbus Church, Drumahill, via Manor Roundabout and Corky for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which can be viewed live on the Craigs Media Facebook page. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the intensive care unit at the Govan Hospital, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private, to immediate family only, please. The death has occurred in Bridge of Allen, Scotland, of William McGee, husband of Josephine, formerly of Stranacorker, Derry Beg. Funeral and burial will take place in Scotland at a later date. The death has taken place of John Scott, Killydesert, Letterkenny, in his 100th year. His remains are reposing at Trinity Presbyterian Church, Letterkenny. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the family plot in Gortley Graveyard. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and interment are limited to 10 people only, please. The death has taken place of Grace O'Donnell, née Sweeney, 39 Beechwood Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Arda. Her remains are reposing at St Junian's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, which can be viewed on the cathedral website. Burial afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the mass and burial are strictly private to family only, please. And the death has taken place at her residence of Kathleen Dernan, P.R.O. Dunyan, Bank End, Inch Island. Requiem Mass will take place in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch Island, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are limited to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Kathleen's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt, choosing the mobile option. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors.